The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 10 minutes after 8, going to talk a bit of legal stuff. And I'm not an attorney, but I sure like talking to him because I find the field fascinating. And Paul Kaminar, one of those fascinating guys. He's lead counsel with the National Legal and Policy Center. Paul, welcome back to the show. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Yeah, and Happy New Year. And what type of law do you normally tend to practice at National Legal and Policy Center? I know you're a constitutional law expert. That's certainly helpful, but there are so many different ways to go in the legal world.
Sure. Yeah, I know with the National Legal and Policy Center, we're a ethics watchdog group. So a lot of our stuff is going after members of Congress for violating ethics rules, Federal Election Commission requirements. We file complaints with the IRS against Black Lives Matter for wasting donors' money on million-dollar mansions and things like that. And then we go after woke corporations. We own stock in a lot of the major corporations, Microsoft, Disney, you name it. And then because of that, we're able to attend annual shareholder meetings where we get up with our proposals to tell them to cut out this nonsense with DEI and LGBTQ stuff.
Okay. So in other words, you have a few shares of these big corporations, and then you get the opportunity to stand up and raise very uncomfortable questions in front of them.
Exactly. In fact, one was so uncomfortable with Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway that our chairman last year, when he got up to speak, and he was allotted 3 minutes under the rules, had his mic cut off a minute into his speech, and was arrested and thrown out of the auditorium.
What was he talking about in that 3 minutes here, Paul?
Yeah, I know. What he was talking about was how Warren Buffett gives billions and billions of dollars to Bill Gates' foundation, which is a very woke corporate company or charitable foundation, and that by having Warren Buffett be both the chairman and the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, he's basically the brand of Berkshire Hathaway, and therefore whatever he does with hanging out with Bill Gates and so forth, who's, by the way, one of his best friends, that rubs off on the brand of Berkshire Hathaway and the shareholders, and that dilutes the value of the stock that way. And so we said, look, you know, you can't be both the chairman and the CEO. Here's our proposal that there should be two separate people for those offices. And most corporations do that. But when you start talking about Bill Gates and how Bill Gates is hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein, the sex offender, out you go. You're under arrest. Throw them out.
Under arrest. That's interesting. Yeah. How can you be under arrest for saying something like that?
That's right. That's why we've got a lawsuit against against Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway to challenge the fact that he was thrown out when he, in fact, had, under their own rules, 3 minutes to speak about whatever he wanted to speak. Anyway, so that's kind of the stuff we do. Both, you know, in terms of ethics watchdog group and so forth. And then we do some litigation. We're going after these offshore windmills in terms of they're violating the Endangered Species Act with the rare endangered North American right whale that are being injured by these, wind towers being put up off the coast of the east coast of.
Yeah, under the guise of saving the planet's climate, we will be destroying the sea life, in other words, right?
That's right. And exactly. And what's really funny is that none of the Save the Whales groups that normally would be with us on this are nowhere to be found because they're being paid off, as we understand, from the energy companies. Plus, this whole thing, by the way, was Biden's number one executive order when he took office in 2021. And you better believe that once Trump gets in, that whole offshore wind nonsense is going to be reversed once he gets into office.
Paul, I'm talking with Paul Kaminar. He's the lead counsel for the National Legal and Policy Center. Speaking of Biden, what about the those pardons and those commutations of of sentences? I'm not surprised that he pardoned his son. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's just the way it is. And you have that power, and off you go. And I know that you've been involved in the over-criminalization of people being thrown into jail, especially over the regulatory stay, that kind of thing.
Right.
I was disappointed, though, to see a lot of bloodthirsty murderers having their sentences commuted. Now, they're not being let go, but we're moving, they're just going to be there for the rest of their lives then. What is your overtake, your take on that legally, as far as it goes?
Well, they were given the death penalty by unanimous juries in all these cases. And Joe Biden, when he came into office, put a moratorium on carrying out the death sentence for those on federal death row, not to be confused with those on death row in various states. There's about, I think, 30 states that still have that on the books. And Merrick Garland, his attorney general, also said, yeah, we're not going to process these death penalties. So these people that have been on the death row, keep in mind that Trump in his first term did carry out the lawful executions of a dozen or so that were on death row. And Biden was afraid that, if Trump gets in, which he obviously is going to be, he's going to carry out the lawful death penalty for these murderers. And so he says, I'm going to put them, give them clemency, commutation, et cetera. And these guys are the worst of the worst. I mean, a couple of them, you had an MS-13 gang member, was in a restaurant in North Carolina. He looked across the table and saw two guys that were kind of smirking at him, got up and blew their brains out in the middle of a restaurant. And we find out he was also involved in murders of witnesses for the MS-13 gang. And so that's a terrorist, right? Biden says, well, I'm not commuting the sense of terrorist. Well, what's the difference between a terrorist, whether it's domestic, homegrown, or foreign? In fact, you saw the terrorist in New Orleans the other day was a domestic terrorist, right? Mm-hmm. Now, under the law, he's dead now, but if he were still alive, he would be eligible for the death penalty. So anyway, bottom line is, these guys are really bad actors. I mean, I can go with some of the gruesome stuff where this one guy was in the National Forest and saw a young co-ed hiking down the trail. He had a rifle, duct tape, tasers, et cetera, tied her up to a tree, tased her at her pubic area, had her mouth taped, et cetera. And then when the tape got loose, she screamed for help, and he shot her in the head with his rifle, and she was discovered a week or so later by a hunter. And, oh, by the way, he took his rifle back to Kmart where he bought it and got a refund. So these are the kind of guys that Biden said, oh, I've got sympathy for you. I'm not letting you out, but you don't deserve the death penalty. You know, give me a break here.
Hmm. I guess that, there has been a real push against the death penalty, and a lot of this has been due to, every now and then, I guess they found out after the fact, the Innocence Project has found out there have been people that were on death row. And I've interviewed people from the Innocence Project over the years. And then genuinely, there have been people sent up to a death row who didn't really deserve to be there. And I guess under this jurisprudence of, we would rather one guilty person go free rather than an innocent person go under. Do you agree with that or not?
I certainly agree with that. But here's the thing. None of the 37 that were commuted dispute their guilt. There's nothing like, no, you got the wrong guy who raped this woman or shot the guy, brains out of the guy next to her. No, they were guilty, totally, no question about it. Now, I will grant you that in some state cases, there may be a thing, there were two guys, and one says, no, I wasn't the trigger man, he was.
Yeah.
And that guy said, even though under the law, if you're an accomplice, you're guilty, is the same as the principal. Anyway, so what I'm getting at is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So, there are maybe a case or two where there might have been innocent, and they should get clemency, et cetera. But for those on federal death row, there's no argument about, it's racist disparity. No. None of that nonsense here. So anyway, it's the federal death penalty that's an issue. And this guy who murdered the guy in New York, Luigi Mangione, the you remember he executed the healthcare executive CEO in New York City. He was charged under New York law for first-degree murder, but New York doesn't have the death penalty. So the federal government came in and said, well, this is also a federal death criminal case. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't charge him with the death penalty yet. They just said, we're charging you with murder. Reserve the right to ask for the death penalty. But you know what? Even if they do it, of course, the Biden people won't do it. But if the Pam Bondi, the new attorney general, and Trump say, okay, we're going to ask for the death penalty, the New York jury is not going to impose it. I'll tell you why. 2017, there was a guy who basically did what happened in New Orleans. He rented a truck, rode down a bike path on the west side of New York, mowed down a couple dozen people. The eight of them died, citizens and tourists, et cetera. He was tried under the federal law for death penalty, and the New York jury didn't impose a death penalty. As long as you have one person saying, no, I don't think he deserves the death penalty, it's not going to be imposed. So if the New York jury's not imposing a death penalty in that kind of a guy, they're not going to impose it with this guy,
Mangione. Yeah. Paul, is the death penalty in the United States, in your view, and I know it sounds like a strange way to put it, on life support at this point, or is it pretty much a going away thing?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. There's basically some states are eliminating it. Overall, the latest poll is 53% of the American people support the death penalty, but that's the wrong metric to use. The question I always ask is, in this particular case, for example, the guy who mowed down people in New York City, et cetera, do you support the death penalty? And then people go, oh, well, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's like 80 or 90%. So the liberal media press asked the wrong question when they say, as a general matter, do you support the death penalty? Well, you know, some people are not really guilty. Say, no, I don't want to. So that, I'm just saying that it is justified in many cases, both for retribution purposes, both for deterrence purposes. And the death penalty cases, you have a separate trial to see whether it should be imposed. And the person can bring anything he wants to the jury. He could say, hey, you know, I had a bad childhood, that kind of stuff. My puppy dog died. And they could get the sympathy of the jury on that. Anyway, so that's what Biden said, that these guys should go, continue in prison with the taxpayer supporting their medical care, their food, et cetera, for the rest of their life.
All right. Now, I'm going to try to be fair about this here, Paul. Paul Kaminar, once again, lead counsel for the National Legal and Policy Center, and he's also a senior fellow of the Administrative Conference of the United States, too. And he's lectured all over the place. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, though, is that is there a case to be made that economically, it's cheaper to support a murderer than to retry again and again and again, or go through all the processes to put someone to death? I've heard that from some people who have been against the death penalty, that it's actually cheaper to keep him in jail.
That's a fallacious argument that they're saying, well, it's cheaper to keep him on death row for 30 or 40 years, life in prison, than to execute him. The thing is, what metrics are you using? Are you talking about just the cost of the prison cell and food and stuff like that? Mm. Yeah, but they're not factoring in the societal cost. The societal cost is that this does have a deterrent effect. There's studies that show the death penalty has a deterrent effect. So my question is, those people saying, what value do you place on the innocent life who was not killed because somebody was going to kill them, say, oh, no, I'm going to get the death penalty if I murder this mother and her child right here. So, it turns into work all the time, but also there's retributive justice, which means, is it just to have the ultimate punishment on somebody who committed the ultimate heinous crime? Because if you don't, then what you're saying to everybody is, hey, I don't care how many people you kill, what way you do it, don't worry, society will take care of you for the rest of your life. And then even if you're in prison, you want to kill a security guard or your fellow, go ahead. We don't have the death penalty for you. So it's just one that has other costs other than the pure economic cost to factor in.
Yeah, I know in Oregon, I was actually one of the people selected by the governor or offered to come in, witness an execution of someone who had killed someone else in prison. and this was a number of years ago, and and then the governor ended up just calling it off, saying we're not going to be doing any more death penalty.
Yeah, so I put a moratorium. Right?
Yeah, moratorium on it. So this is a, right. a growing thing. Now, the thing is, though, Paul, is that I just want people to understand, you're not just a kill-em-all kind of guy, all right? You've also been very big on the over-criminalization of many things in the United States, all right?
Sure.
And so this brings me to where we could be going with January 6th, because we're at the anniversary, and President Trump has made a lot of promises to people. I talked to a January 6th spokesperson type this week, you know, about this, and she was talking about clemency or pardons. She doesn't think there's going to be out-and-out open pardons. How would you see this rolling as a constitutional law guy?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I'm involved in some of the January 6th cases myself, and I think there's going to be basically a bifurcation there. I think that for those who were charged with simple trespass, that kind of stuff, which is the majority of them, that I think there will be a blanket pardon for those.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call a proclamation pardon, which Biden has done, by the way, with 1,500 other people that he pardoned, some with these drug crimes and so forth like that, with marijuana. So I think he'll do that in one fell swoop. And then for those who were charged with assaulting a police officer or something like that, he'll look at him and say, well, gee, you've been in prison already 2, 3, 4 years. And some of these, by the way, have been in prison even before they've been tried. There's people right now rotting away in the D.C. prison here for January 6th who haven't been tried yet. So they're presumed innocent. So I think for those, they'll probably get at least a commutation, meaning...
Like for time served, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then there may be those that there are special cases where there'll be what are called individual pardons, where they'll say, okay, in your case, yeah, you assaulted the officer, sir, but it was like, you know, you pushed his shield back. You did hurt him or whatever, and technically that was a felony violation, but it was one that was overblown by the government. And so I think that you're going to see a lot of, and Trump himself said he was going to do this on day one. So I think you'll start seeing that rolling out. In fact, coming up here in D.C., on January 6th, the anniversary of taking over the Capitol there, or the attempt to at least, there's going to be a big press conference at the big Capitol Arena here where we have our basketball games and so forth, rally. No, I'm sorry, that's for a different rally. At the High Regency in town, I'm getting these confused, there's so many going on here.
Okay.
There'll be a January 6th press conference with major speakers talking about the unjust imprisonment of a lot of these January 6th defendants. And going back to what we said earlier about over-criminalization, what they prosecuted like 1,400 of them. And like I said, the majority of those were those who just walked in. Some of them even invited in by the police and took selfies with the police and they left. And then they were tracked down on social media and you had the FBI knocking on the door saying, hey, you're under arrest. For what? You walked into the Capitol building. That's trespassing, and here's a half dozen other crimes that go along with that.
But that has been kind of the DOJ method over the years, has it not been? You know, in which the process ends up being the punishment in many ways.
And, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And by the way, this is for left and right. I'm not taking a political bias out of something like that. The whole system. I guess question I would have for you about that though. The people who have been in jail, in prison for a number of years here, you know, awaiting adjudication or else haven't adjudicated. And then, well, there was the Supreme Court case that said that Enron era law about the disruption of a proceeding, that sort of thing, that was unconstitutional to use it for this. Do these people have a recourse as far as getting some of their life back, whether it's damages or anything like that? Or is it just like, hey, you know, yeah, your life is destroyed. We're really sorry. Have a nice life.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Yeah, that Enron provision, that's 18 U.S.C. section 1512C2, to be particular. And that one was also two counts charged against Trump by Jack Smith. Luckily, that case has been dismissed because of the immunity ruling. But nevertheless, there are a bunch of them who January 6th, that was one of the charges. So some of them have gone back to the courts, and the courts have said, yeah, okay, you weren't supposed to be charged with that, but here's seven, eight other nickel and dime charges. So, yeah, I'll reduce your sentence from 3 years to 2 years and 6 months or something. So they got a little break there. But in terms of civil damages, they really can't go back after that. Although, for those who were victims of police brutality, you can civilly sue. And I'm representing one January 6th defendant. Her name is Victoria White, who was pushed into this tunnel on the west side of the Capitol that had 50 D.C. cops shoulder to shoulder in there. And she was pushed in, and before you know it, she's like a ragdoll ping pong. Being beaten by the police in there. She was whacked over the head with a metal baton some 30 times, punched in the face a half dozen times by the police, bloodied, dragged out the back way. And then they indicted her for, you entered the building and you assaulted the police. I've got the video.
What? In other words, her head got in the way of the D.C. Yeah. police officer's yeah. baton. Right?
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So we're suing the D.C. government for $2 million, and that case is pending right now. So, but that had to be brought within 3 years of the actual assault back in January. So some of these other defendants are pursuing some excessive brutality cases, but most of them are not because the statute of limitations has run out. But you're right. It's ruined their lives. A lot of them are veterans who had their veterans benefits cut off for their family. They lost their Second Amendment rights to own a gun because now they're a felon, you know, et cetera. So this is all very unfair. And, you know, you compare that the way with the Black Lives Movement rioters back in that summer where they were burning down buildings, et cetera. They got a slap on the wrist. So that's where we are.
And the thing is, though, restoring equality before the law, I think, is something which is very yes. important. I imagine you would feel that way, too. And I'm talking about not about your politics, but, you know, if you did this, this happens,
right.
you know, that kind of thing. Are we open? Is the country ready for that at this point, or is there still too much politicization of the whole process? What do you think, Paul?
Well, I'm hoping that the Trump administration will bring back some fairness to the process because what we've had is lawfare over these years where you had the Justice Department very politicized going after Republicans and Trump. Now, they vowed Pam Bondi to look at those who committed some of these abuses and hold them accountable. And in my book, that's not basically doing anything wrong. Now, if they go out to other targets and say, okay, well, you went after us, now we're going after you, then the process just keeps spiraling up.
Yeah, you don't want to do to them what they did to you under the same rubric of it, but you do
right.
you do want the leaders, though, that order the hench people to do
right.
bad stuff. You want them held accountable, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Paul Kaminar, lead counsel for the National Legal and Policy Center, NLPC.org. I know you have other people to talk to, but thank you for having taken the time. All right?
You bet.
Be
Anytime.
Well.
Anytime. Take care.
Bye-bye. Wow. Great. A lot of information to digest there. All right. This is the Bill Myers Show at KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
You don't want to ring in the new year with the same old furniture, do you? Start fresh with a year-end clearance at all Garrison's locations. Get 2 years interest-free financing OAC at our way low cash discount price, plus take an additional 10% off our already heavily discounted clearance items. Because paying full price for new furniture, that's so 2024. The year-end clearance, now through Sunday at Garrison's Home, Express, Outlet, and Sleep.
Hi, it's Scuba Steve with Bicoastal Media and KMED. Today I'm chatting with Nick Jones, the principal of Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. Thanks for talking with me today. Nick, people preparing to retire are always concerned about their magic number. How can they be sure they'll have enough money to retire?
Well, there's actually no magic number, as retirement planning is different for everyone. There are, however, a few key factors that we need to analyze to build the right financial blueprint for every client. The first is your income gap. In addition to Social Security, pensions, and other stable retirement income sources, what will you actually need? Second, how long should we plan that income for? Now, this isn't an exact science, but retirement age and longevity must be considered. And lastly, how well are your investments managed? Do you use pre-tax accounts or tax-free accounts? Do you work with a broker or a fiduciary? Building a financial blueprint based on your goals and objectives, risk tolerance, and overall time horizon is critical for long-term success.
Schedule a strategy session with Nick at jonesfinancialtalk.com.
The song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young only reached number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, but it stands the test of time. If you have a very, very, very fine house, Millett Construction wants to help you keep it that way. So if the vase that you bought today looks a bit tilted on the table, it might be a sloping floor due to a shifting foundation. Call Millett Construction for an inspection and estimate to permanently correct the issue so your house stands the test of time, too. MillettConstruction.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
All righty, as we wrap the week up here, yep, open phones, 770-5633. Paul Kaminor, I thought it was an interesting conversation there about where the J6ers could be going. Do you think there should be, and I don't like the term reparation, but some kind of restitution being made for people who have been thrown in jail for years over that Enron law and others with January 6th? Might be something we can talk about. Maybe not. Not so crazy Gene's here. Gene, happy New Year, but I guess your cat died, so you're not feeling so happy at the moment, huh?
Well, I've got all the cats fixed, so all the cats are getting older.
Yeah.
And, my oldest, he was 18 years old, and he just died.
Oh, that was a good long life for that kitty, though. It wasn't bad.
He's got a good long life, I know, but I'm still going to miss him. And I was thinking, what's happening in miniature on my property is what's happening to this country. It's all these abortions that we keep wiping out the chances of having much new life, and we're just, civilization is growing old and fading away.
Interesting you bring that up, because I was reading a stat that said that that abortion actually was the number one method of death in this country. If you were to count them as life, which I know that many people don't want to count an unborn baby as life, but you know, if you were to count it, it's actually the number one death method in this country. Isn't that interesting?
I just think we're just doing a step wrong as a society. We are destroying.
Well, hopefully we can pull out of it. Well, one thing that would help, though, is to not think of humans as a cancer on the planet, okay? Like so many of a certain persuasion do. Now, back to your cat, though. Now, how many cats do you have, though? Back to your cat. How many cats do you have?
I've still got several cats left, but they're all growing older. There comes a day when I'll be dead, and so will they.
Oh, okay. Well, all I'm saying is that it sounds like you're a cat lover. No problem with that. So you're our crazy cat guy. Crazy cat guy Gene, right? Cat daddy?
Yeah, well, at least they haven't taken me into divorce court.
Oh, okay, that's true. That's one way of looking at it. I'm sure there's a young kitty out there that should be joining your cat colony. They would love to be part of your family. Okay?
We'll help for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, get some young blood into the colony. Nothing wrong with that. Take care, Gene. Let me go to line 2. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Good morning. Deplorable Patrick here, Bill. Am I on with you?
Yeah, hey DP. Happy New Year.
Hey. Good morning, and I'm sure glad to have you back. I'm glad you got a vacation, because I don't want you to be worked to death, but I'm really glad you're back, too.
Me, too.
So, yes, there should be reparations for people wrongly imprisoned, but that's not why I picked up the phone.
Okay.
I've been hearing a little bit about this asinine guy, Bill Gates, wanting to put mRNA vaccines in the food. I don't know if that's happening or if that's just a rumor or whatever, but I would think that he would make a nice fat target for a class action lawsuit for doctoring without consent, and I would join that class if possible. Is that happening?
I see so many emails that come in from the Lucretia world that are making that claim that it already is occurring, but I can't speak to it right now. It's not something that I have gotten really involved in, so I would have to do a little more looking into it, because, like I said, everybody has a video on Rumble for me to watch. Everybody has this, and I don't get a chance to do them all. I got to focus, that kind of thing. I'll try to find out.
If he's as smart as he claims to be, he would realize that he's a really big target.
Well, everything about – you understand, though, Bill Gates, the way he looks at us is that we're just part of the Bill Gates farm. That's all.
That's how – he can look at it that way all he wants. I don't think a court's going to look at it that way.
Oh, I don't know. The courts may have no problem looking at it because, for all we know, Bill Gates got them in – to the judgeship. You just never know the influence that some of these people. I guess the thing is, when you have the kind of money that a Bill Gates or even an Elon Musk, there's a lot of FU money, you know what I'm getting at? Where it's just like, rules don't apply to me, I can pretty much do what needs to be done. And Warren Buffett, too, for that matter.
I'd sure like to know, because I do enjoy a restaurant meal once in a while, and I...
It would be nice not to have the meat, in other words, inoculated to the mRNA standard, right? Is that what you're getting at?
That's what I'm getting at. I'd love to know. So.
Well, that's right. If you crazy conservatives that don't like the mRNA vax don't like that, we're going to get you through your steaks. Okay. That would be it. I don't know if that's the case. I'm just talking... out of school right now here, DP, but Happy New Year, all right? Let me go to line 3. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. Hey, Holly, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, it didn't buzz, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Happy New Year, Holly. How are things?
Well, kind of starting the year off a little wild. We're going to have a Patriots conference tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the office.
Oh, yeah?
And that should be interesting. Not a conference, just a regular flag rally.
Yeah, get together and then. Sure, yeah. Sure.
Some of the new candidates will be there. We'll talk about different things. I think it'll be great. We've got fabulous political gear there. People always love that, hats and shirts and sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I know in Josephine County politics, something tells me next week's Grants Pass City Council meeting is going to be really interesting to watch. Some of the last people that are on their way out.
That should be very interesting. The new council comes in. I think everybody gets sworn in on Monday. And then, the city council meeting is going to be very lively.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In Grants Pass. There's a lot going on. People are
Yeah, now have you decided that you're going to do your mentioned that you're going to be doing an inauguration party on the 20th for Donald Trump. I can't attend it, unfortunately. The show's got to be here, in Southern Oregon, in Medford.
Got it.
But are you doing that? Has that been officially announced yet for Joe County?
It's going to be 8:30 in the morning. That one is a brunch. Kind of a brunch.
Oh, okay.
Breakfast, and so we're asking people to contribute $12 to come and have breakfast and watch the inauguration and meet with fellow patriots. It should be really fun.
Yeah. When does he actually take the oath of office? Do you know what time?
9 o'clock our time, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're going to be starting at 8:30, and at 9 o'clock, I believe he's sworn in.
Okay. Be a good day. Interesting day for sure. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting and interesting, and it's fun to be with patriots, Trump-loving people. It's a good time.
Yeah, better than, hanging out in certain locales here in Southern Oregon. We'll just leave it at that. All right. Take care, Holly. Let me grab one more here. Now, actually, I'm going to have to tell you what. Let me pop through the news here quickly, and then more of your calls, 770-5633. It's open phones. Anything that's on your mind, just want to say Happy New Year, or maybe you can tell me whether or not they're putting mRNA in the beef or not. Okay.
If you really want to enjoy your open air spaces, talk to American Industrial Door. They're an authorized dealer for Deere Screen Systems. From porches, patios, and gazebos to restaurant seating areas to warehouses, these custom-made motorized screens and vinyl panels are a permanent solution to keep pest, wind, and rain out so you can enjoy outdoor environments in peace. Go see all the possibilities DuraScreen Systems have to offer at American Industrial Door, with showrooms on Union Avenue and Grants Pass and Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas Road.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9. The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Providence Health and Services in Oregon has been dumped by Aetna's health insurance network after the two sides failed to reach an agreement over payments. The change will take effect in February locally. If you're a patient of Providence hospitals, clinics, or doctors and covered with Aetna's employer-based and Medicare Advantage plans, you'll have to pay steep out-of-network fees or go somewhere else. President Biden granted a request for a federal disaster declaration for five eastern Oregon counties related to last summer's historic wildfire season. They can now receive federal help for wildfires that burned hundreds of thousands of acres last summer. Klamath Falls police arrested a woman Thursday for allegedly shooting her boyfriend, but the victim lied to police about what really happened. Natalie Rising has been arrested for attempted murder. When the officers found the victim, he said he was shot during an attempted robbery. Police investigated and discovered the attempted robbery never happened. He was shot by his girlfriend. I'm Bill London, KMED.
Interesting times in the economy. Some are saying that the market's looking a little frothy and bubbly. Others are saying it's still going to go to the moon. Others are going to say Trump's going to have to deal with a lot of inflation still baked into it. I don't know. But one way or the other is that I still suggest that during such uncertain times, we'll just kind of leave it at that. Could be great. Hopefully everything's just going to be great. And then we laugh about any of the concerns about the debt and anything later on. But that just in case always kind of bothers me, and so I think it's a good idea to have a portion of your wealth in some physical gold and or silver, maybe both if you want. And if you are thinking about that, the people you talk to are Jay Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, one of my oldest sponsors. And yeah, I know talk radio in physical gold and silver is kind of like a cliche, I know at this point, but these people have been doing this for a long, long time, family-owned and operated business. And they're the type of people that know these markets and understand it and the real purpose about this, all right? Not collectible coins and things like that. We're talking about wealth preservation. They'll help you do that. Take a portion of it. Talk to your financial advisor. Talk to Jay Austin then. Ashland Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com. Better yet, just drop by today and talk to him, okay?
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Happy to take your call, 770-5633. Tracy's up in Washington. Happy New Year, Tracy. What are you thinking?
Happy New Year to you all down there in Southern Oregon.
All right, and, good to have you on. What are you thinking?
So I had two things I want to talk about. And number one, I always enjoy Mr. Roberts' discussion on outdoor life and observations and the weather. It's just wonderful. So I wanted to follow up on the wildlife overpass. We'll just call it that.
The one that was this the Ron Wyden overpass, or was this a Merkley overpass, or was it both an overpass? I don't know.
It's actually your tax dollars at work.
Okay, so, yeah. But the thing is, though, they gave, you know, this is due to us. We fine senators that did this.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. So agreed, it pretty much it's not a place where predators hang out and say, ah, there's easy pickings. We've got this deer crossing and or you know, having wolves or mountain lions or whatever. It's not that sort of a situation. They also don't want to hang around there. They're obviously feeling constrained.
Yeah. Now, is it the worst idea of all for up on Interstate 5? What's your overall take on it near Siskiyou Summit, which is where it will be?
I don't drive there enough. I guess the people you should be asking are, besides the wildlife experts, are the truckers that run into the deer and you know, have to do the quick hurry brakes. I think that's probably the folks you need to talk to.
Oh.
They're the ones who are suffering the most.
I know that we have a number of them already, and they've had good luck with him out on 97, or a real reduction of wildlife getting pounded by the vehicles. And so, you know, I can see how if you give them a safe, easy way to cross, they'll avoid the highway. It makes some sense. Seems like a lot of money, but, you know, we're talking government contracts after all, Tracy.
Exactly. So, but there is a third aspect that nobody has really spoken about.
Okay.
In public, and that is dealing with the spread of diseases between animals. That's a great place for a deer tick to hang out, for example. And there is definitely literature out there regarding studies that say, yes, there is going to be a more likely concentration of animals in these zones, and therefore things spread. And what is spreading right now between animals and especially cross species?
Bird flu?
You got it. Matter of fact, I just read a report of an elephant seal in Falkland Islands, of all places, dying of avian flu.
No kidding.
Going around all over the place.
Huh. So the theory then is that the wildlife underpass, or the overpass as it goes, it's really an underpass for the wildlife, will end up making it easier to spread disease, I guess. I want to make sure
exactly.
I understand this. That's an interesting theory. Interesting theory.
Yeah, it makes total sense, too. So just be aware of that. And the second thing I want to talk about, totally 180 degrees opposite direction,
okay,
is you grew up as a teenager in the Carter era, because we're about the same age here.
Yep.
So you remember Jimmy fairly well, and it's not just peanuts.
I remember him in his sweater and his malaise speech and saying, you know, turn down the heat in the winter and turn up the thermostat in the summertime. That's what we were told.
So we're getting all these accolades right now of how wonderful Jimmy Carter was post-presidency. And looking back now fondly with his presidency, it was a terrible disaster for this country. We have suffered since that time for all the melees, all the poor planning that has gone on. The largest thing, if you can think of the Iraq-Iran war, it was started by Iraq over the Shatt al-Arab waterway. It lasted 8 years. Hundreds of thousands of people died in trench warfare. We could have avoided this because we could have kept Shah in power. And, you know, Shah was not a great guy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The Slovak agents, but they were our ruthless people. They weren't, you know, the other ruthless guys. So we suffered the Iraq War, Gulf 1 and 2, is a direct result of the fact that we let the Shah go.
The other aspect of this that I think, which is even worse, ultimately, was that
He formed the Department of Energy, did he not?
Oh, yeah, and they haven't really done what they should have done.
Everything about the Department of Energy is like every other federal agency. It has nothing to do with actually making everything plentiful, usually. It's about it's always about putting the federal thumb on top of something or someone, as the case might be. And so
they do control the nuclear energy. I mean, there is some things that they do, you know, manage the nuclear infrastructure that we have in the country. So there's that. But you're correct. It's nothing but under my thumb, you know.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Point well taken. And the other aspect is that, yeah, he may have been nice at building houses, but he was actually a really nasty guy personally. And a lot of people don't talk about that. Anybody who knew him personally knows that Jimmy Carter was never a nice man. But I guess, you know, it doesn't matter.
I went to the same university he did, and I did my graduate degree at Georgia Tech, and, you know, they still honor him, but, you know. He was there just to get nuclear sub-training and nuclear engineering training.
Point well taken, Tracy. Thanks for the call. Let me grab one more. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Bill, it's Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Bill, I got a question for you. You are an intelligent, well-read man. What product was built 50 to 60 years ago that is currently still in use, and when they are sold, they are selling for 6 to 8 times what they were originally purchased for 50 to 60 years ago?
50 to 60 years ago.
The actual physical products that were produced 50 to 60 years ago, now selling for 6 to 8 times what they sold for then, is general aviation aircraft.
Really?
I
would imagine it's because the permitting process and the safety deal today is probably just cost prohibitive. Would that be fair?
There's a lot of stuff, but, you know, the U.S. Army Air Corps taught my dad how to fly. Dad taught me how to fly. Our family airplane was a 1956 Cessna 180. And a lot of the guys that I know, we still track this stuff, but it's insane. The most popular aircraft ever produced for that use is a Cessna 172. You used to be able to buy a Cessna 172 brand new for $15,000. A brand new Cessna 172 today is $700,000.
I had no idea.
It's insane. But that's why the used ones are so expensive. As you said, they have a basically an enforced maintenance program. If you're going to fly the aircraft, you have to maintain. And actually, it's a well-equipped 700. You can still find some new 172s for in the $500,000 to $600,000 range. But it's the cost of all of the compliance stuff that drives the cost of these things. But
yeah, because everything's a compliance in the aviation world too. Okay,
yeah.
There we go. Thanks for letting me know. And if somebody wills me one of those planes, I'll know that I have a collector's item. Thanks for the call. All right. Let me do a couple of emails of the day here before we take off and break for the weekend here. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, while you wait, crowns available, good people, centralpointfamilydentistry.com on Freeman Way, rather, in Central Point. Dale writes, morning, happy new year, I hope. With regards to today's Speaker of the House vote, it seems to me that if the House wants any citizens to ever pay any attention to what they say, do, or enact again, they will take care of this business and vote promptly. If they want to be seen and thought of as a farce and a fraud from now on, they will frustrate everyone. They cannot conduct any further business without a speaker, and they need to be efficient, and they need to be prompt about it. That's Dale from Medford. Reverend David writes me, Bill, of course, it's not Islamic terror just because Jabbar had a bomb-making setup in his Houston home and a Koran open to the section on the martyrdom doesn't mean that he is an Islamic terrorist. He was just upset at his wife and that he had business trouble. And if you believe that, I have some beachfront property with a boardwalk to sell you in Arizona. Hans Albuquerque also weighs in this morning. Bill, so where are all the drones suddenly? That's a great question, Hans. Huh? They've magically disappeared. Wonder what all the diversion was about here at the Truman Show. Point well taken. Hans, I'd give you a real American salute as we wrap up. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again. My email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. Have a great weekend, and we will see you bright and early Monday.
If you don't plan on...